Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you that we're all able to be here. I'm just so blessed that everybody wanted to be here and have time together and have fellowship together. Lord, as we continue our study of your word, open our hearts to hear from your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're going, right? All right. It used to give me a little sign in my headphones. It didn't do that, so I wasn't sure. Praise God. I should trust you, Priscilla. I should just know. Praise God. You know, life is full of things that don't seem fair. Somebody gets that promotion that you thought you should get at work. Or somebody gets that job that you thought you deserved. I remember feeling like that fresh out of, I went through this training program and started working as a tutor. And about that time, the associate instructor for the course quit. Now, to understand what I'm saying, they made a big deal out of the fact that you go through this training, you have better preparation than somebody who's been to college and has 2 years worth of work experience. So I wanted that job, but then they brought in this other guy, and the only thing he had on me was 4 years of college and a couple years of work experience. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say everything that went through my head because it wouldn't be appropriate. But needless to say, I felt like I deserved that job, and I didn't get it. Or maybe you put your heart into something, and you do what you think is a really good job, and everything goes without a hitch, and it's perfect, and you get no credit whatsoever. Nobody even knows you did. They act like they don't even know that anything happened. Or you know, maybe you've been doing your thing for a while and some unexperienced upstart comes in and steals your show. Just doesn't seem fair, does it? But so naturally we can have some resentment develop out of that. We have some envy over these people that got what we felt like we should have had. Maybe we start complaining. And maybe we have the result of that is often division that starts to be fomented in the organization, whatever organization that is. And churches, unfortunately, are not immune to this. Why? Because churches are all full of people.
Right.
And as much as we try to do better and do what we know we're supposed to do, we all fall short. And these things come up. But if we could see things from God's perspective, we might be able to see things differently. Because He doesn't measure things the same way we do. He doesn't measure by how much you're able to do. He doesn't measure by how important you think you are. Or even how important you really are. He doesn't measure by the amount of ability that we have. His economy is driven by totally different things. His economy is driven by mercy, by love, by devotion, by sacrifice. God wants our hearts. Yeah, the works that we do matter, but they only matter when they grow out of faith. All we need to do is be willing to answer when He calls. Whatever that looks like. And it's going to look different for every single one of us. But if we looked at things God's way, we wouldn't be jealous when somebody else gets more than we got. Or gets something that we don't feel like they deserve. Because guess what? Every single one of us gets better than we deserve. When we see things God's way, suddenly it becomes a cause for rejoicing. Because we love our brother, we love our sister. and something good happens to them, praise God. That's wonderful. Otherwise, what is it that we're really working for? Are we working because we love our Lord? Are we working for the recognition of man? Our passage today comes out of Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And to give it a little bit of context, before the passage where Jesus is speaking here, before this happened, he has just had the rich young ruler come to him. And we talked about that, it's been a month ago now. But he's just had the rich young ruler come and ask him, well, what am I going to do? What should I do? And Jesus, of course, answers him according to the difficulty in his life, saying, well, if you want to be perfect, give up everything, sell everything you have, and follow, give it to the poor and follow me. And of course, he was not willing to do that. That was asking too much. And Peter asks him later, we didn't really talk about this the last time, but then the next thing that happens is that Peter asks him, after he said, made this incredible statement, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter heaven, enter the kingdom of heaven. And when they question about it, of course, he says, well, with God, all things are possible. Amen. It's only by God's grace that any of us gets in, whether we're rich or not. But Peter then ask him another question. So what do we get? And of course, he makes them, he tells them that, that the reward will come for all of those who serve him. But then he ends up with this statement. In 1930, he ends up with a statement, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. And that is the context for what we're about to read, because Jesus continues speaking. We put a chapter break there, but Jesus is still talking. And he tells then this parable of the vineyard owner who goes out to hire laborers to work in his vineyard. And he does this several times in the same day. And the last group that he hires is, there's only 1 hour left to work. They would typically work a 12-hour day, and he's just got 1 hour left. He goes out and gets this last group. But he begins this, and it's why we're stopping again on this passage. He begins this narrative with, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so as we go through, and we've been examining the different things that Jesus says about the kingdom of heaven, where he says the kingdom of heaven is like, we're looking at those examples to see what the kingdom of heaven is like. So I'm not going to read all 16 verses. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip to verse 8. But he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius, the day's wage for the day, he sent them out into his vineyard. Of course, he does that a couple more times in the verses that we're skipping over until he gets to the 11th hour, and then he gets to the end of the day. He says, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. And those hired about the 11th hour came, each received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do with as I wish, with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last. So we see it's bracketed now from the in the beginning to the end. He makes this same statement. But he begins with the kingdom of heaven is like. Again, Jesus is contrasting, as he has so many times before, the kingdom of heaven with earthly kingdoms, or the way that things work. The way that things work in the kingdom of heaven with the way that things tend to work here on earth. He, of course, is the landowner in this parable. And he is rewarding the willingness to work more than he is the work. They all, but by the way, they all did work. I think that's important to realize. They all came, they were all willing, they all came in, and they all did something. But he had an agreement, a specific agreement that he made with the first group of laborers. You do a day's work, I'll give you a day's pay. Now, to the second one, and presumably to all the others, then he says, whatever is right, I will give you. No specifics here. But whatever is right. Well, what makes it right? It's right because he said it was right. He's the one in control. He's the one paying the wages. Whatever is right is what he says. So he pays them, and everybody gets day's wage. Everybody gets the same thing. And he brings the last people up to the front of the line. The people that were hired last got paid first, and they got the same amount. The first, of course, are indignant, discontent by this. But he says, hey, you were not treated unfairly. You agreed with me for this, and this is what you got. But they are jealous of the good fortune of those who came later and didn't have to do as much work. They are, in fact, because they expected then to get more because those others got the same, they are laying claim to rights that they do not have. They're not the landowner. They don't have the right to make any demands on what he can or cannot do. But they have presumed that because he's gracious to the first, he's going to be more gracious to them. And they become angry when he denies their presumption. Now, what does all of this mean? I think we have to have this in context with the rich young ruler, because Jesus has just finished with that discussion. Now, this guy, as we remember, I mean, man, he's got it all. He's got the money. He's got the prestige. He would have been considered one of the first. But Jesus then forced him to choose. You want all this or you want me? You can't have both. And then you have Peter's question. Okay, what do we have? We've given it all up. What's in it for us? What's our reward? Jesus promises that there will be a reward. But it's not going to be obtained by the worldly means. It's not going to be obtained the way that you think it is. You're not going to earn it. I'm going to give it to you. And by the way, it comes with a side of persecution. The vineyard illustrates God's grace to the undeserving. And the same grace is available to each and every person. And actually, this story counters a contemporary Jewish parable which said exactly the opposite. And it alludes to of course, he's talking, he's alluding to the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders who would later reject him and who are jealous of what he's doing. And several things are going through my head that I wish I had time to expound on. I think I will next time I teach this, because there's a lot there having to do with the nation of Israel and what God is doing. Now, there's even one point at which he says, "I'm going to make you jealous by people who are not my people." And then God is now fulfilling this. He's doing this through the person of Jesus, when all of us, Jew and Gentile alike, are going to be let in to the kingdom of heaven by his grace and by faith alone. His covenant with them stands. And he's done them no wrong, but he's decided in his grace and his mercy to let us in too. But sometimes we can have a selfish perspective. We all like to be first, don't we? I mean, who doesn't want to be first? Sometimes I don't want to be first, but it's for selfish reasons and not necessarily for good reasons. But we think that being first should come with some kind of benefit. We think that it's merited by the things that we do. And these workers had an agreement. And they did what they were expected. They did what they were required to do. And they received what they were promised to receive. And there is nothing particularly, it's good. That's the way we should do our lives. It's a good thing, but it's not particularly commendable. It's something we all should do. Luke 17:10, Jesus says, if you've done everything that you're supposed to do, say we're unworthy servants because we've only done what we were supposed to do. Now, if they'd stuck around and did a little extra, I don't know, the story might have been different. But we tend to assume that we should have some kind of special privilege by the favor that is given us. But this is a selfish perspective, and what it does is it leads to bitterness. When things don't work out the way we think they're supposed to, it leads to bitterness. And it can poison our relationships. It can poison our relationships with people around us, whether that be in the workplace, whether that be in our families, and yes, even in our churches. It can also poison our relationship to God, because some of us have served him all of our lives, and we know what we're supposed to do, and mostly anybody that's got any honesty at all knows we don't always do it. But most of the time we've done what we're supposed to do. And we expect what we think we should get. That there ought to be some reward for that. And we do have a heavenly reward coming. Don't misunderstand me. But the question is, does he have our hearts? Do we seek him for who he is, or do we seek him for what he has? Do we, like the Jews, imagine that if we keep our version of the law, it doesn't look quite like theirs did, but we've all got one in our head, don't we? That he must accept us. Still others have just found him recently. And the same salvation is available to all of us. Amen. God is gracious. God is merciful. But we ought not to presume upon it as if by our own merit we deserve it. He decides what is right. And we need to listen to him. Many are, who are first in this world will be last in his kingdom. But sometimes we let the world's standards even into our churches, and we judge people and what's going on by those standards instead of by God's standards. And we should take care lest we be among those who end up last. Greatness in God's kingdom, as we've studied from different angles now throughout the book of Matthew, greatness in God's kingdom is achieved through love, through service, through humility, through servanthood. God is the one who rules. And he's chosen to give grace to all who will receive it. And all we need to do is to be willing to work for him. To be willing to answer when he calls. And for each one of us, I've already said, for each one of us that looks different. He's not asking you for what you don't have. He's asking you for what you do have. So come when he calls. And I say that not only to those who are here, but to those who are perhaps able to listen to this online. It's not hard. Yeah, it can be hard. Yes, God never promised us an easy life. But he did promise us joy. He did promise us peace. And he did promise us eternal reward. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I'll come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have given us access into your kingdom. That you made a way. We've just gotten through celebrating the season that begins your story here on earth. Actually, it began a long time before that, but your story as one who was among us, who walked among us. And we thank you for what you came to do, knowing that you lived to die and to live again, that we might live with you forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let everybody within the sound of my voice know that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.